We're not a wrestling organization anymore. We're the world's damn biggest puppet show.
I don't need a weapon. My hands are my weapons.
Quote to the end. Evermore.
I'm pregnant!
The era of the ECW.
I have something to say to you!
Welcome to the Extreme ECW Livecast, and we are back now for ECW Hardcore TV episodes 161 and 162, covering May 21st and May 28th of 1996. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV and Rick Beebe. How you guys doing?
Doing well, bro. How you doing?
I'm all right, Rick.
I'm doing good.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Welcome back. Yeah. We say this every time. Rick's here again. Rick's here again. We keep saying, I don't know if he's going to be here on the next one, but he's here on the next one. I think we've just got a three-man booth. As long as Rick is available, he's popping on.
Yeah, that's what
yeah,
I
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. So, sounds good to us. And, give us a follow at ExtremeCast. Give me, Mike Prue, a follow on Twitter at MPRU83. Call JV at John Van Damage. And follow Rick Beebe at Leo Wyatt 85. And Rick, did I ask this question already? What is Leo Wyatt? I feel like I did, but I don't remember. What's the significance of Leo Wyatt? Is it like the Wyatt brothers? I forget. Did we lose Rick?
Am I here? You got me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I don't know what happened. All right. Maybe I must have bumped the mute or something. Anyways, so no, my ex and I, we were big fans of the TV show Charmed. She was really a big fan when I met her, and then she kind of got me into it. And one of the characters is named Leo Wyatt, and so we kind of used to joke that we were her and I were two of the characters on the show that are in a relationship. And then we wanted to name our son when he was going to be born Leo Wyatt, but somebody decided that they didn't like the name Wyatt because it reminded them of Wyatt Earp. But I had already made the Twitter handle for that, so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go with it, and it doesn't really matter.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Now I know. I was thinking, obviously, because of wrestling, like, oh, maybe like Bray Wyatt for a while and did that. But, yeah, nope. Okay. That makes more sense, and it's probably a better story. All right. Yeah. So, anyway, follow us on Twitter, and also check out JV and I on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. You can follow JV and I there on Twitter at Bottom Line Cast, where we are covering the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin, the career of Stunning Steve Austin, and doing specials all the time. We have over 260 episodes over the past 5 years. So please check us out at the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. All right. So before we get into this next episode, we'll just give a quick recap of what we covered last time on the Extreme ECW Livecast. We only did one watch along. Rick Beebe had an extended quality control center, and he broke down three episodes, great coverage, and he did that because we had already watched the supercard, and we weren't going to watch a bunch of episodes again, so Rick did a great job with that, and we went on to May 14th, 1996, and at that point, ECW was right on to A Matter of Respect on ECW Hardcore TV 160, and we only had two matches to cover. So the big things that happened there was Sabu is back in action, and he attacked Damien 666 and El Forte Ricanio in the opening of the show. That got the crowd hyped. And then we saw a big match, Shane Douglas defeating Too Cool Scorpio for the TV Championship in a match that was basically the entirety of the show for the most part. And hell of a match. Douglas won the title and threw us for a loop at the end because we thought he was like being all sarcastic and shit to Tuco Scorpio about you're a great champion and you're one of the best, and you're thinking Shane Douglas is just being a dickhead, but no, he was actually being honest, and Too Cold fucking turned on him and started being his ass. So that was interesting. That's where we left off, at a matter of respect. And we're going to continue on with that in just a little bit, but before we do, we're going to go to Rick Beebe's latest quality control center, number 11. So take a listen to Rick, and we'll be right back.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Extreme ECW Livecast Quality Control Center. My name is Rick Beebe, and on this week's show, I'll be taking a brief look at the career of Dan Crockett. I'll also reveal some information regarding why ECW was able to keep playing popular music during their broadcasts. And, lastly, we'll take a look at the weird and wonderful world of incredibly strange wrestling. Philippe Lafon was born in September 1961 in Manitowoc, Ontario, Canada, but he was raised in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. He was discovered in a gym by Davy Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kid, who told him to seek out the Hart family in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, where he was trained in the dungeon. He spent 2 years wrestling for Stampede Wrestling before moving east to the Maritimes promotion, where he would wrestle as René Rougeau. In 1988, Lafon would get booked in All Japan Pro Wrestling, where he would be teamed up by Giant Baba with Doug Furness as the Can-Am Express. During this time, Lafon would be billed under the name Dan Crockett. It was used as a tribute to the original Dan Crockett, a wrestler who Lafon had idolized as a child. Interesting fact, the original Dan Crockett is often credited as the man who came up with the idea for the ladder match that happened in Stampede in 1972. The Can-Am Express would win the All-Asia Tag Championship a record 5 times and be involved in many matches that are considered classics in the early to mid-90s, including one that was rated 5 stars in The Observer. That match would see the duo face off against Kenta Kobashi and Tsuyoshi Kikuchi on May 25th, 1992. As a singles competitor, Crockett would also win the World Junior Heavyweight title twice during this time. And, as I mentioned in the intro, he'll be showing up in ECW a few times in the next year or so. Last week, Mike Prue brought up the relationship between ECW and Tommy Boy Records, so I did some research. Let's take a look at the various ways ECW was able to utilize popular music for their entrances and promo videos. All of this is according to Paul Heyman himself. He says there were 3 deals that ECW had regarding music usage and rights. The first type of deal was similar to a sponsorship. The record label would provide ECW with the music to play as well as some money in exchange for them being credited at the end of the episodes for their music. That's why sometimes you'll see Tommy Boy Records or Matador Records or even Geffen Records credited at the end of Hardcore TV. ECW would also find up-and-coming artists and acquire the rights to use their music in exchange for publicizing the band. According to Heyman, this is how ECW was able to get White Zombie's Thunder Kiss 65 as the intro song over their video package. The second type of deal was with the record labels and artists, where ECW would run a music video and intersperse footage of their wrestling events alongside the video. An example of this would be the music video we saw recently of the Rolling Stones mixed with Missy Hyatt and Sandman footage. Part of this agreement was that ECW wouldn't use the music live, but they did it anyways, because why not? The third is where Enter Sandman, Natural Born Killers, and plenty of other ECW themes fall. ECW just played them and didn't give a fuck. They weren't trying to get any of the rights, and their philosophy behind it was that, hey, if we get a cease and desist, what are they going to sue us for? We have no money. As history has shown, ECW ran on a razor-thin budget, so it would cost the labels way more money to send their lawyers to court to file injunctions and then serve the papers than they realistically would ever be able to recoup. In fact, Heyman cites a story where he had a meeting with the law firm of Loeb & Loeb. They were recording the conversation as if it was a deposition, And Heyman suggested during the conversation that they just give ECW the music, let them publicize it, get the word out, put it into video games and on albums, and everybody makes some money. And the lawyer's response was, no, that's not how it works. You can't steal our music and then backdoor your way into the rights. So Heyman's response was, you know what? You're right. Tell you what, I'll sit right here. You can run across the street to the federal courthouse, file the papers, and then serve me. He says that at that moment, the lawyers realized that he had no money, and that it would be stupid for them to sue him, because they were standing to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal costs for nothing in return. Now, when it comes time for ECW to start running pay-per-views and eventually get their ECW on TNN show, they leaned into a loophole that's used by most major sports. If the music is playing in the live venue and the mics just happen to pick it up, that falls under a rule of ambient noise. For instance, ABC isn't paying any kind of rights fees if, during a timeout of an NBA game, you can hear Hell's Bells on the television. So why should ECW pay a fee because Enter Sandman just happens to be playing in the arena on one of the Friday night ECW on TNN episodes? And now, the moment I'm sure you've all been waiting for. The answer to the question, what the hell was Incredibly Strange Wrestling? You know that promotion mentioned by Mike Prue last week in a letter written to the Wrestling Observer in 1996? Well, let's just say that this part of the QCC segment is not for everybody, so listener discretion is advised. And I will say this, most of the information that I found on ISW comes directly from the Observer in 1995 and 1996. Mostly it was through the reviews of the newsletter by Scott Keith. Incredibly Strange Wrestling has its roots in an event staged in 1990 at the DNA Lounge, an all-ages nightclub/restaurant in San Francisco, California. The event was called the Sleaze Fest, and it combined live music, video presentations, and a Lucha Libre match. Gradually, the Lucha aspect was built on through a series of shows in and around San Francisco that were promoted by a guy named Johnny Legend, an actor, rockabilly musician, and wrestling manager. How's that for a trifecta? Eventually, in early 1995, a man named Bert Cibelli, and a wrestler who I could only find called Ragone, was tapped to provide some after-hours shows at a new nightclub that was opening. One of the ideas was to do a Lucha Libre show, so the club owner told them to put it together and see how it would work. Originally, it was being promoted as rockabilly wrestling, until Legend came up with Incredibly Strange Wrestling instead. What resulted was a mix of outrageous Lucha Libre gimmicks and matches, combined with live musical performances. Due to the success of these shows, they managed to book a spot on the West Coast leg of Lollapalooza in 1995. According to Dave Meltzer, the group performed on the July 4th show in Seattle, Washington, in front of 30,000 people. In a later issue, he would correct that number, that it was just a little bit lower. Only about 500 people are actually watching them. Now, you might ask, who were some of these outrageous luchadors and gimmicks in ISW? Well, this is where things are gonna get really distasteful. You had a luchador who wore a pink tutu and called himself El Homo Loco. There was a female wrestler called the Poontangler, who would wrestle male wrestlers in a paternity suit match. You had Mistress Stacy Domina, before she married Jim Cornette, regularly facing off against Castle Waif, the ex-love slave. Oh, and the wrestler that was mentioned in that letter last week, the abortionist, who came to the ring with, you guessed it, a coat hanger. Remember, folks, this was a nightclub act, so they were going to push the envelope, and they pushed it a lot. Some of the wrestler names and gimmicks would have caused an uproar in mainstream 1995, let alone 2023. However, it wasn't just the gimmicks that were edgy or distasteful. One of their later shows would end with J.R. Benson being knocked out by his opponent, the rapist, while they were brawling in the streets outside the building. Oh, and JR was managed by a female valet named Jenny X. So with JR out cold in the middle of the street, what's Jenny do but try to revive him? By slipping off her panties and rubbing them all over his face. Which didn't work. So what's she gonna do now? Slap him? Call an ambulance? No. She squats down and gives him a golden shower in the middle of traffic to wake him up. And on that note, let's wrap up the Quality Control Center for this week. My name is Rick Beebe. Back to you, Mike Prue and JV.
All right, we're back now. And thanks, Rick, for that. As always, another great Quality Control Center. Thank we talked you. About it before the show opened up. And man, what a weird and wonderful world it was for Incredibly Strange Wrestling.
Yeah, and you guys didn't even have to read half the stuff or watch what I watched.
Man, I'm sorry for that assignment. We brought it up, we're like, and you were like, yeah, I'll check it out. Boom, man. I feel sorry for you.
It's all right. It's all right. And I will say this. I left a lot of stuff out because there's definitely stuff, as mentioned, that is very distasteful.
And to think that last episode, I said, yeah, we're going to watch an episode of that. And we were like, yeah, let's watch one. I don't think so. I think we might have to not do that.
Well, I did know.
Unless you can find one good enough for us to cover.
Yeah, no. Well, that's the thing is they didn't do like weekly TV shows or anything like that. At least as far as they definitely weren't on TV. There's no way. But one of the things I found was like a home video release. So they were doing home video releases.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I did see that, I guess, one of future ECW alums at some point showed up on one of their shows, Little Spike Dudley. But at the same time, I don't think that really warrants sitting through awful, awful wrestling just to happen to see Spike Dudley. I'm sure you can find, Matt Heiss and stuff before he was Spike Dudley. I'm sure we can find stuff that's a little bit better than Incredibly Strange Wrestling. Or...
Yeah, I think I'll wait for Spike Dudley.
Yeah.
Well, yes, thanks nonetheless for all that coverage. And hey, you already knew a lot right from the get-go when we brought it up, but you went deep diving and you got stuck in some buttholes up there.
Dumpster diving.
Oh, yeah, dumpster diving. Even better. All right, so with that said, let's move on to our first episode. We are covering ECW Hardcore TV, episode 161, May 21st, 1996. We're going to get part two of three episodes that are covering matches from A Matter of Respect from May 11th, 1996. But also, we're going to have some matches and highlights from a couple house shows that were happening after A Matter of Respect. So we're going to get some stuff from the May 17th Glenn Olden show and the May 18th Allentown show. We got a runtime of about 54:28 here. And, you know, if this shit's ever on the BTT drive, you can watch along with us. If not, if you have Peacock still, maybe your cable provider took it away from you, so now you don't have that either. Which is happening on June 26th for a lot of people. If try to follow along with us and watch along with us. I always give this disclaimer. I'm going to stop doing that soon and just say, hey, fuck it. If you have it, there's the countdown.
You know where to find it. Know where to find it.
Yeah, we're just going to stop it. And be like, this countdown is solely for the three of us only.
Yeah.
So that we're synced up. That's it's pretty much what it is. You're either at in this point.
Or you're out.
Yeah. Well, I did notice I did that on the last Stunning Steve. I didn't even fucking say, hey, you can watch this here and there. He just gave us a countdown.
It's fair game.
Yeah, fair game. All right. We're going to give a countdown. As always, 3-1. Then say play. When I say play, we'll click play. And I got to make sure I'm ready to go. Everybody else ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
All right. I gotta lower my volume down so I'm not bitching about it again.
Oh, good call. I should do that too.
All right. You good?
Yes.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, play. This is the rematch between Sabu and... All right, so we're getting highlights and clips from the big match from A Matter of Respect. Rob Van Dam versus Sabu.
They're doing it like WWF used to do. Let's not show the actual match. Yeah, it's just like still clips.
Still clips. This is from the WWF magazine.
Like, yeah, courtesy of WWF magazine.
Because they always wanted you to get the encore on Tuesday.
Yep.
So yeah, we're getting the clips here. What's that?
There was a dude that had "Blow Me" on his sweatshirt.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Black sweatshirt.
He's right in the middle.
He kind of looks like he belongs in a goth band. Black sweatshirt with pink writing. Just plain as day, "Blow Me." Right there.
Oh, yeah. There he is. Yeah, he plays the bass guitar.
Oh, yeah.
He's in a band, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, so with that... You know, while this highlight reel is going on, we're not seeing exactly what happens. We're letting Joey, you know, give his coverage of the match, and it's hyping us up. It's probably, you know, buy this tape soon. Buy this VHS. This is only highlights. The next episode is only going to be highlights of this match as well. This is the big match. They want you to buy the VHS on this. So we're not going to see this on Hardcore TV. But I want to give a heads up to everybody right away, and to you, JV, and to you, Rick. We are going to watch this match. In 2 weeks, we're going to watch the matches that are not covered on A Matter of Respect. That's going to be the first portion of our show, is watching the 3 matches that did not air on Hardcore TV, but only aired on the tape. We're going to watch those 3 matches, and then the next episode from June of 1996. So we will watch this match in its entirety, Rob Van Dam versus Sabu, next time.
Oh, I wish we could see this sunset flip. Mm-hmm.
Did everybody hear what I just said?
Yes, I heard.
Yeah, that was for the listeners. All right.
Well, I said to you too, because
I'm gonna remember anyway.
Wow. Fuck, man. All right. In my mind, I'm thinking the listeners are like, all right, cool, and then I'm expecting you guys to be like, yeah, cool. I want to watch this match.
Oh yeah.
You guys like, oh fuck.
Yeah. No. I'm looking forward to this. Sabu and RVD have some good matches.
Well, I'm fucking cutting it. It's off. We're not watching it.
Now we're being punished.
You guys don't like it? You'll get it. And done.
Appreciative little fucks. Appreciate shit around here.
Oh, that was a real clip, though. Right there, fucking bust him on his neck.
Yeah, Fisherman Buster.
I gotta grab a cough drop, so I'll be right back.
Alright.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that was his finisher at that point, was a split leg of moonsault.
Yeah. They basically showed us the whole match. Shit. And most of the commentary along with it. But I wanted to include the other matches because of Beef Wellington. And
Beef Wellington.
Yeah.
Yep. People will have to wait 2 weeks to find out my interesting factoid about Beef Wellington.
Right. We're saving that up.
Yeah. I like it.
And I looked ahead and planned things out, so I thought structurally it would make sense.
Yeah.
That's a little inside baseball. Not only do I not respect you, you're a piece of shit. Oh, we're getting post-match footage here of RVD calling Sabu a piece of shit. And I agree. Piece of shit.
Yep.
No-showed a bunch of times. Come back in. Try to be this big star.
And Paulie's standing right there.
Boss. Paulie has to keep a close eye on Sabu at all times.
Yep.
Hey, what's that Dudley? I don't know if we mentioned that Dudley before. Dudley with the tie-dye hat. Oh, I'll have okay. To see him. This is a big development. Rob Van Dam is joining Bill Alfonso, and JV's not even here right now to see that. We're going to have to mention it to him.
Yeah, we will.
And he's going to be like, shit, I'm not going to remember that.
Nope.
All right, so we kick off the opening of the show. That was a good opening, you know, give you highlights of the big match from the show. And then wrap it up with the post-match.
All right, I'm back.
The post-match part was the best part of it. JV, you just missed Rob Van Dam calling Sabu a piece of shit after that match. And then Sabu, and then Rob Van Dam, he goes out of the ring. We hear the whistles blowing. It's Bill Alfonso. RVD joins Bill Alfonso.
Oh, come on. That's going to rule.
Told you he's gonna love it.
You called it.
I can't wait for that.
Yep.
A pothead and a fucking psycho.
So Sabu basically landed on his neck with that. Was it a fisherman suplex off the second rope? Was that what it was?
Well, be a fisherman buster, but yeah.
Fisherman buster.
Yeah. Because he did
it. Yeah, like a brain buster type.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We always want to listen to Paul, so let's see if we can lay out and listen to
Sabu himself, me, and somebody who I begged Sabu to team with as a favor to me. Now, somebody went to Rob Van Dam and told him the truth about Sabu's injuries. Somebody went to Rob Van Dam and explained to him just how severe the neck injury Sabu suffered truly was. Somebody went to Rob Van Dam and told him how vulnerable Sabu is. Somebody went to Rob Van Dam and told him that the doctors actually said to Sabu, you should never ever wrestle again. Now, it wasn't Sabu that told Rob Van Dam, and it sure as hell wasn't me that told Rob Van Dam. Somebody's making a game out of a very serious situation. And it's time that somebody just plain stopped.
What the fuck is in that bag? Jeez.
Pills?
Yeah, get him.
All about Sabu's neck injury.
He's got fucking
Bonzi ran into Van Damme's dressing room and
awesome. Stoots
it off.
Wow.
Right to his face. Hey, Van Damme, this is how to do it. The guy's got a vertebrae out of shape like that. And you know what he did? He beat him. He laid him out. He pinned him for a three count. Can you believe that? And I told him how to do it.
There's only one problem with that. If Rob Van Dam could beat you and put you out for 10 minutes, just imagine what I could do to you if you ever had the guts to get in the ring with me.
Now, wow, what a great angle and promo there.
Yep.
You know, to set that up is like, of course, Taz, we know, has been dominant, and RVD is kind of new on the scene. It's like, shit, if that youngster can do that, look what I can do to you. That's fucking great. And there's the fucking shitty Fonzie Mustache shirt.
They've been milking that thing for a year now.
Oh my god, this looks like fucking... I probably say it all the time, but it looks like Slappy, whatever his name is. From Night of the Living Dummy, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the R.L. Stein book.
All right, Hostile City Showdown 96, uncut and uncensored, which is what we just covered. And here it is. From Hartsdale, New York. Here we go. Here's our break song, Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
I feel right.
Ask your mom, please, but she still says no. And living in that.
Okay, I stop.
Thanks.
It's my gimmick. Sing shitty songs and sing them shitty.
Piss me off.
Don't piss me off.
Experience the difference.
That sucks. I like the front of it, but the back sucks.
Yeah, the front's fine.
Would like to thank Tommy Boy Records, as mentioned in the QCC.
Yeah.
Oh, what's this song? I love an old, like... This is, like, hip-hop that was, like, funk.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely
that was, like,
funk.
That hip-hop funk movement in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Going it's like Coolio. Coolio shit. It probably is Coolio. I have to look this one up. Sounds like Coolio to me, though.
Yeah, it could be Coolio.
Oh! Yeah, it might be. Alright, so we're advertising here the June 1st Saturday night show. Eliminators the Gangsters franchise defending the TV title that he just won against Too Cold Scorpio. Dreamer and the Pitbulls against Bruise Brothers and Brian Lee. Fucking... Disciples of Apocalypse.
Filming's first appearance since his accident, too.
Yes, that's right. Alright, so we're jumping ahead a little bit to Ag Hall. Yeah, the coconut. This is where many of the early WWF shows were taped in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get Taz versus Too Cold here, I think, right?
I think that's what he said, yeah. Yep.
Nice. Here we go. Ah, Billy. Oh, the bag of Taz's shirt's badass. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
And the great thing is, Taz, he came up with that because he was making all the t-shirt designs. Or many of them. Hope he didn't make up the Bill Alfonso one. Maybe he did as a rib. Like, hey, Bill, this is your shirt.
I could see that being a rib, yeah.
Man, Taz, you know, obviously we know his height and shit, but he doesn't look short. He looks fucking like the man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not gonna fuck with him.
No. He's like a bulldog.
Yeah. Fuck that. No way.
Solid.
Bill Alfonso in the old school jerk off style pose for our manager, getting on his knees in front of his,
yep,
his guy,
being all submissive.
It's like the Teddy Long ones in front of the skyscrapers, where it looks like he's jerking off Undertaker and Danny Spivey.
Well, he was also kneeling down, and you could kind of see Taz's mushroom head, so that was a little weird.
I didn't notice. I mean, not that I anything against noticing, because I usually do notice that stuff, but I wasn't looking that time.
I only noticed it because when Fonzie stood up, you could see it. Like, it's like his head was right there.
Hey! What was it? Too Cold guy here. If you beat me this day, you're the better man.
But if I beat you, I'll be the first one to tell you. I'm pretty sure he's high as shit right there.
Yeah, he must be. Come looking for a receipt. If you come trying to hurt me, try to put me out. It looks in good shape from this angle.
Oh yeah.
Maybe he just always had a little gut that he always was worried about. Like, dude, you're in good shape. What the fuck you worry about your little gut for? He's got that hard stomach, probably.
Yeah, like the Iron Sheik.
Yeah. Shaka laka, shaka laka, chocolata. Look at all Grandma and Nanny in the front here. Oh, mushroom bowl haircut. Alright, so this is a new audience, so let's pick out some fuckers in here. We are in Allentown. Look at all these little boys here. And these look like kids.
Team Taz.
Yeah, I know Team Taz, but man, that looks like Little League.
I know,
Team
they, Taz. Yeah, they look like they're 12, yeah.
Oh, that girl wants to grind.
Is that girl even legal?
Yeah, right?
You're maybe 17. Oh, I just saw a kid with my old school jean shorts and long-ass t-shirt. That was the style.
Front row of dads right in the front, the ECW shirt, ECFNW shirt.
You see that one dude right in front of them, though, like, or to the right of them? He was, like, leaning back.
Yeah,
like he was fucking 911.
Yeah.
Oh, shit! Franchise attacks Tuco from behind.
Out of nowhere.
Scorpio's gonna be done early in this match,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah. Holy shit!
Is he leaving?
But he's not gonna win a TV title, right? Kata Hajime.
Who? Scorpio?
Is this for the title?
No, because Douglas has the title, remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Just spit his gum out.
Ah, War Machine. So, yeah, Taz. Taking Too Cold Scorpio out. Too Cold Scorpio's taking back-to-back losses. Scorpio nailed in the back of the neck with the championship belt. He lost to Douglas. Then he took a... I like to see where they go with him at this point. From what I remember, Scorpio? He doesn't win the TV title back right away.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. I don't remember exactly.
I don't remember exactly. I know there's something that this leads to, but anyways...
All right, Taz just told us to shut our mouth and listen to him.
Yeah, I wasn't talking to you right now. I was talking about Loren. Taz said. Get my hands on you.
Certainly made good on his promise. Scorpio is still out. Receipt. He's trying to move his head. Wow, Taz getting heat. Hey, Paul Richard in the house.
Oh, yeah. With a championship belt that weighs 20 pounds. Wouldn't it be awesome if Paul Richards was listening to us?
That would be great.
Yeah.
Gonna be waiting a while.
Get your ass kicked, boy.
Uh-huh. That was definitely a rib on Sabu if Taz
it. Without question, the most it's just a cartoon character, really.
Yeah.
Huge upper body. No one doesn't know how to draw legs. That's it. Like, everybody that tried to draw always made the big chest, the big arms, and wee! Tiny little legs.
Yeah, legs are hard to draw.
And the fists are always hard to draw, too. But anywhere on the face of planet Earth, he truly epitomizes the word extreme. And his name. And so, what do we got coming up on the show? Just a little sneaky peek here. Oh, we're going to get some Chris Jericho action coming up. Fan cam from Glenn Olden. Are we getting a clip now from what we saw last time? Where Shane Douglas, I guess being honest. Oh, what?
What?
Am I misremembering? Okay, I was thinking of... Alright.
Yeah, no, that's was right. Hostile City Show.
That was a Hostile City Show. I was thinking Matter of Respect.
Matter of Respect, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so... Thank you for this. That makes more sense. Too Cold's getting his receipt.
You don't remember
as we noted... When Scorpio hit him, the crowd cheered. So it wasn't even like a heel turn.
So it's like, right, exactly. Yeah, so now It's tit for tat, basically. Back and forth.
For as long as I can remember, and I don't ever remember seeing two wrestlers getting so mad at one another in such a short period of time. The franchise, Too Cold Scorpio, for the World Television title. The rematch is slated for Saturday night, June 1st at the
June 1st show. Is that anything significant? What is that? I think that's... Oh, it's called...
Fight the Power?
Fight, yeah. So... On our next episode, we'll be covering the first part of that.
Jericho and Mikey.
All right, so this is from A Matter of Respect. Oh, this is from the May 11th, 1996 show.
Yep.
There's one match that I can't wait to come up, and I think it's coming up on the next show that we cover later. The Dudley Boys match. It kicked off.
Is that them with the
events? Damian Kane.
Damian Kane.
And Lady Alexandra.
Yep.
Big titties, yeah.
those nice legs of hers.
I don't know how they played on here because I watched the full show.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how it plays out here on Hardcore TV, but it should be fun. All right, so we got chopped clips here of Jericho versus Whipwrecker. Holy shit!
Ooh.
It looked like Jericho was going to go for a superplex, but instead, he dropkicks Mikey off the top rope.
And he cracks his chin on the guardrail.
Mikey goes flying into the guardrail.
I've never seen that before.
Nope.
Have you ever seen that in any? That's a great spot where, you know, you have that struggle where, oh, I'm trying to superplex you. You're struggling, so fuck you. Let me drop kick you off the side.
I'm almost wondering if they were supposed to be doing, like, a something off the top rope, and Jericho started to slip, so he said, fuck it, I'm just going to drop kick him.
Maybe. Maybe, but, yeah, I mean, maybe he was trying to save the spot.
Good. Yeah, it looked good, so...
Yeah, maybe he just told Mike, yeah, I'm pushing you off.
Yeah. Crack your chin on that guardrail.
it's all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. If you lose a tooth, eh.
Ooh.
Ooh.
He took a bump into the corner and...
On that ring post.
Right, on the ring post, and then the guardrail was so close that he just slammed into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look how little of a path there is in there. Camera guy's like being a creeper over there. Oh, how'd he get that chair? Nice baseball slide.
He either grabbed it out of the crowd or the guy gave it to him, one of the two.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. I know, I don't even know why I asked that. But, yeah, obviously it was probably fucking Straw Hat Guy or something.
Yeah. Holy shit, he came close to hitting his head on that guardrail.
Yep. Man. That was brutal. And even though he missed it, he freaking slammed his head on it. On the concrete. Nice waistlock reversal. Going for a fisherman suplex. There we go. Nice. Yep. I like how Joey qualifies it. No bridge.
Yeah.
All impact. Oh, that should have been 1, 2, 3. But Mikey is a champion. Former ECW champion.
Former Tag Team champion.
TV champion.
Yeah.
Right. And he's got... Is he wearing a Galactica shirt here? Oh, he almost had the turn. Yeah, he's wearing... Yeah.
Well, I'm Magic Strong. That's what that's called, that move.
What is it called?
It's called La Magistral.
The fuck does that mean?
La
Magistral?
It looks like mad. It's almost like magic, but no C, just S-T-R-A-L. It's Spanish. It's a lucha move, obviously. Because Jericho was in CMLL as Corazon de Leon. Nice butterfly suplex off the top for the win.
Wow. Nice finish there.
Yeah.
Finally got that spot off the top rope.
One of the things I like about ECW is the guys all have unique ways of finishing matches, but it doesn't always have to be the same move, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't have seen a butterfly suplex off the top in WCW or WWF at this time.
No, you're right. Now, seeing that finish made me think the prior spot where he drop kicked him off, maybe that was supposed to be finished, and they went like 5 extra minutes instead.
Yeah.
So it looks like it was intended to be the same spot. All right, so we get the handshake spot. Is Mikey going to accept it? Is Jericho going to be legit? Oh, they're hugging. That's it.
Huh.
Oh.
Respect.
Faith No More.
Oh, we got to play this. Faith No More.
We already did.
I feel like we may have played it, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
See, this is what I was talking about, not in this QCC, but before, where they used to have two showings on Sports Channel Philly. One was at like 5 p.m. and the other's at 11. Now they're switching it to just 11.
Right.
Because the
good callback.
The head of the company didn't like ECW.
Pussy.
Yeah.
I'm like lesbians.
Yeah, or, you know, guys getting hit by frying pans and chairs, and guy getting a cinder block broken over his dick.
I mean, how mad can you really be about it if you're like, it can be on at 11?
They're making money, come on.
Air it twice.
Yeah.
Like, embrace the controversy.
Controversy.
Maybe that helps you out.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I mean, and Sports Channel Philly was their first home. ECW's first home.
Right, and what's going to happen to Sports Channel Philly? Who's going to get canceled by? The cable network? Like,
right.
I don't know.
People are going to call up and complain and want to get rid of Sports Channel Philly when it's probably on your basic cable.
Right. All they're going to see is that, oh, ECW's on, I'll just change the channel. You know, just like when I watched Nessun and Charlie Moore's fishing shit's on. I'm like, I'm not watching this. Like, I'll turn it on when baseball's on. Like most people do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we get Disciples of Apocalypse against... Oh, no, it's actually... This is a big match.
This is the match.
Tommy Dreamer versus Brian Lee. Yeah. The street match.
Yeah.
Well, ends up in the street.
But unlike
it's a fan cam.
Unlike Incredibly Strange Wrestling, nobody is going to be urinated on during this match.
Is this the match where I mentioned that someone almost got hit by a car, or is this a separate match?
I think this might be.
I think this is different.
Yeah, I think that might be a different match.
But they're in like a fucking suburban neighborhood,
yeah,
just like
in somebody's yard. Somebody's front yard in Glen Olden, Pennsylvania.
You're right, like the next day, kids are standing on that corner getting picked up by a school bus.
Yeah. All these drunk idiots. Somebody took the chair out of the fucking arena.
One of those guys looked like Crackhead Bob from Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah? I missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. It was quick. I think he had the chair in his hand. He had a bald head. And
that's a great throwback.
Okay, great highlight.
Yeah.
And now we're back to what you're just talking about with the airing.
Chili
the,
Peppers.
The 11 p.m. shows. This is a good one.
Yeah.
All right.
Some good music on this episode.
I'm going to write things down before I forget it.
Yeah.
A Beastie Boys at the break.
Oh, Quagmire ribs.
Yeah. Giggity.
That's right, it's me, Brian Pillman.
All fucking crazy.
Before he almost died in a car accident.
But I will give you the truth. And you might find...
What's the name of that Red Hot Chili Peppers song?
Higher Ground.
For some reason, that song always sounded like a cover of something.
It's a cover itself. Stevie Wonder did the.
Oh original. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yep. Like, I had to be a cover because like yeah. I know those lyrics from something else. All right. When did that come out? Was that on? That wasn't on.
The Chili Peppers.
Yeah. Version? Was that on an album or?
I want to say so, like 94 maybe, some around then. It would have been before. Well, I don't know. Actually, maybe it was around this time.
It's weird that they were doing covers that.
Yeah.
Early on. I mean, I guess, what, 5 years into their. When did they come out? 89 ish? Oh, 82, I guess. Fuck, holy moly. Mm. They didn't break out until the 90s.
No. Not like Blood Sugar Sex Magik or Mother's Milk, one of those two. Oh. Hello, Francine.
Oh.
I love the continuity of Pitbull 2's head being bandaged. The fans chanting 2-2-2
reminiscent of when Mr. Wrestling 2 graced the squared circle. Oh, that's an old callback from Joey Styles to mention Mr. Wrestling number 2
yeah.
in his Mid-South days. Where the crowd would go 2-2, but then Bill Watts on commentary would do the same 2-2-2-2.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be loud as fuck, too.
Yeah, just
like
noise.
I was. Alright, 2-2. Alright. Ambidangerous.
What a wild three.
He's ambidangerous. Right, he's dangerous with two hands.
He's dangerous to himself. He almost fucking broke his own neck. Jesus.
Hey, touche right there, Rick. He's dangerous to himself.
Yeah.
Good play on words.
Missy bending over.
I keep missing shit. Fuck, I'm missing ass. I'm missing titties.
She was leaning in, and like you could see the underside of the cheeks, you know?
Oh, that's best.
Yeah.
Yep. That's imagination. Imagination run wild. Sometimes it's all you need.
Yeah.
I'm over here fucking looking up Red Hot Chili Pepper shit, and I'm missing ass.
Yeah. Fucking...
Like, I don't even really care. Fuck it. I'm not even looking anymore. Holy hell, this is great, this spot. So we got the busted Anthony Durant.
Yeah, Pitbull 2. Busting him in the head.
Yeah, he's busted over already.
Every so often, Sandman swings and hits the chair, trying to, you know, cane duel with Raven in the chair.
Yeah.
And then
got dueling canes and chairs.
Stevie randomly jumps in the ring for no reason.
I was gonna say, who's wearing the fucking red whitey tighties? The tighty whiteys.
I'm judging it based on the t-shirt. Looked like the half shirts that Stevie wears.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like, yeah, Stevie, what the fuck's he wearing today? He doesn't have his shorts on over that?
Oh.
Jean shorts.
Scorpio's got his silver jacket on.
Oh. Oof. That looked awkward. Yeah. Leg drop to Raven.
Just
on the guardrail.
On the guardrail.
Now he's slamming the chair. Now he's going over into the crowd. Everlast Boy stands up like a tough guy. Sandman fucking dives off, nails him with the cane. Great shit. Oh, swing and a miss. And the whiff. The whiff. Who was that JV that used to say that on ESPN? The whiff.
Oh,
was it Chris Berman?
No. Isn't it also a Major League?
No. Definitely ESPN Sports Center. I think it was
Belt, maybe.
I think it was the guy that ends up... He has a radio show still. Fuck's his name.
Oh, Rich Eisen?
Yeah, I think that's right. No, not Rich Eisen. Older guy.
Not Berman. Yeah.
Not Berman.
Okay. So to say he's older.
Oh, what's his name? Dan Patrick?
Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick.
He has a show.
Yeah. That's yeah, what I'm
I meant.
Of.
I said Rich Eisen, but I meant.
You meant Dan Patrick.
Patrick, yeah. It's just his face.
Yeah. I think he's at Lewis.
Because he used to do play by play, right? Sunday Night Baseball and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, look at
me. All right, we got a fun match going on here, though.
All right, people in the crowd, move. I need. There you go.
Oh, there it is. I see wedges. That's all I needed to see. Just two sides of an ass. That was good. that's all I need to see. Two sides
just,
of an ass.
Just the corners of the peach.
I don't need the pit.
Right.
Oh, what a weak cover. Referee, that doesn't count. I say it a lot in over the 400, 500 podcasts I've done. I hate when someone just jumps on somebody to break a count and the referee automatically is like, oh, doesn't count.
Yeah, that like almost the dude's like,
shoulders
like
were still down.
That almost looked like the Sandman just like drunkenly tripped and fell on them. It wasn't even like he was trying to get him up. Get him
right, he just fell. And the referee's like, count's broken. Why? Because somebody landed on somebody? Like, the count should only be broken when the guy on the mat lifts his shoulders. That's it. But it's never the case. It's always, oh, he broke it up because he kicked him. The fuck out of here.
I mean, it makes sense in, like, a tag match. Because,
I think it never makes sense.
Well, it makes more sense in a tag match. That, like, if you run in and kick the guy that's covering your partner.
Well, if it's not a tag match, it's a DQ.
Right, right.
But, yeah. I mean, in a tag match, just because you hit the guy on top covering doesn't mean you still can't count to three.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because the guy's still down.
That's true.
Shoulders are on the mat still. One, two, three.
Why are we talking about this like it's real?
Well, that's the fun of it. I know the quote.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh
my God. Okay, that's a lazy cover.
You know, that's the fun of doing this is, you know, exactly what we do is we try to make sense of something that doesn't make sense rather than being like shitting on everything the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, exactly, yeah.
Although, in a way, we are shitting on it, but.
Yeah.
At least we're trying to make it seem like it's supposed to be legit.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say specifically for you guys, but I definitely had conversations like this when this would have been on, and, you know, I was like 11 with my friends, this kind of stuff about, like, oh, you broke it up. Like, oh.
Oh, I was always.
Like it was real.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm the same way. I knew I was in the know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always a big stickler about when all of a sudden DQs didn't happen anymore. And people didn't have to hold on to the tag team rope. And referees didn't count five when tag team wrestlers were in the ring. Like, because that's what I grew up with. That was the rules. So when it changed, I was like, what the fuck's going on? This is bullshit. Because I wasn't totally buying into, oh, this is good for wrestling. This is more entertaining.
Right.
I was like, nah, this is fucking bullshit. And then I go, you know, I was fine with it eventually. But
right.
Because I gave up because fucking that's all wrestling was. I was like, all right, that's what it is now.
Thank you, Earl Hebner. Yeah. Let me ignore what's going on in the ring.
Well, I wasn't even in the know with Earl Hebner at the time because I wasn't in tune to paying attention to refs.
I don't.
Like, I know the basics, but.
Yeah.
I didn't know how annoying he was.
That now, you know, he would stop looking at whatever's going on in the ring because somebody's walking around outside. Like,
yeah, dude, your job's in the ring. What are you doing? Right. Yeah, really. I mean, we're talking over stuff, but we got there's a great match going on here, in my opinion, from what I'm seeing.
No, there really is.
Oof, they're exhausted, too.
Oh, yeah. Super exhausted. It's just crazy the amount of talent that's out there. You know, ECW talent all around the ring, in the ring. Classics type ECW spots happening with canes and chairs.
The low blow with the cane that we just saw.
Yep. Fucking head shot or shoulder shot. I think more of a shoulder shot there. And we go set up. Set up pinball number two. Oh, but here comes Raven. And he's going to set him up. And oh, they're going for a pitbull finisher.
Oh, whoa. Whoa. Plagiarism.
Yeah, well
he's pitbull.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, true.
Oh, no, that's a smart move. Wow. Raven, all the smarts. Right there. He sets up pitbull 2, the fucking Neil Sandman. Take him out.
Cat five.
Then he covers. And then he covers Pipple number two. And now we got asses. And here comes Missy.
Oh, shit. Here we go. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Show your tits. Show your tits.
When do they start chanting that?
They definitely chant that at some point.
It's probably around the same time they start chanting, she's got herpes.
Perfect. She's got a dick. She's got a dick. Oh, Sandman DDT. I thought this match was
listen
over.
To the crowd popping on every single time the Sandman does something, the crowd goes, pops huge. Yes,
oh, they love him.
It's underwear.
Oh, Stevie. Look at the Stevie kick.
Oh. Oh, yeah, so he's got his little underwear on.
Yeah.
All right, so down to Sandman Raven. Oh, there's a WWF boy. Mm-hmm. Oh, who's this guy? This camera guy. Shit. Look at this petite girl in the front row. She's like, fuck, don't break my legs with that. He's about to slam it down on her.
Mm-hmm.
What we got here? He took off a piece of the guardrail. And he's going to toss it over. Oh, he actually got it over this time. Because there's been times where Sandman does not get shit over the top rope that he intends to.
Yeah, that's like a 50-50 shot if it's going to land on his head.
So the guardrail is set up on the ropes, and Sandman whips Raven into it. Raven hits it hard, gives it a little bend in the middle. It's the mat. Sandman's up. The crowd is chanting ECW. This is good shit. Classic shit here.
John Finnegan's still down in the corner trying to figure out what's going on. Pretending like he's out of it.
Yep. Sandman with one of his go-to moves. He does the basically suplex to an object. Yep. And lands it on his opponent. And he did that with the guardrail to Raven.
Now we're going
what
for
we got
suplex.
Here, Raven? What we got here, Rick? Suplex.
Suplex.
Oh!
Ooh, Raven. I thought he was going to reverse that into a DDT.
Oh, he did!
DDT's him on the guardrail.
Well, there it is.
Even through. There it is. 1, 2, 3.
Look
Raven
at that guardrail.
Wins. That guardrail got fucked up.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Eesh. Man, that was rough. Raven retains the championship here at a matter of respect. In a hell of a match. Damn. Say what you want about Raven. He's the heavyweight
champion of the world. And he earned it. No. Go back to Missy in the ring.
Yeah, we'd like that.
Yeah.
What did he just say? Saying suck his balls. Alright, yeah. So while we're... Nothing much happening here. Well, actually, maybe something's about to go down, so let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Meanie takes a shot to the back of the head. So Pitbulls and Sandman are going to put their differences aside. I don't know about that. Let's see.
Man.
Maybe.
At least maybe for the moment.
Maybe for the sake of beating up the fucking Blue Meanie.
Yeah. Get rid of this fat bastard.
JV, this should be your favorite part right here. What's going on?
Did we lose him?
Why would you say this is my favorite part?
Didn't you say
Blue Meanie?
Me.
Huh?
You hate Blue Meanie.
Oh, yeah, but I don't like seeing him do well or bad. I just don't want to see him.
He's got X-Pac heat with you. It's not that you want to see him get his ass kicked. You just don't want to see him.
Yeah, exactly.
Go away.
Go away.
Oh, he cracked him. And he likes it. Hit him with the kendo stick now.
Oh, yeah. Is he going to like that?
Kendo stick's just easier to say than fucking Taiwanese cane sugar cane stick.
Taiwanese cane sugar cane stick. Now, before you said that, I was going to say, I wonder if Missy Hyde ever got titty fucked by the cane. They were just fucking around, like, let me stick this down there for a sec.
Yeah.
I know I would do something stupid like that.
If you had tits? Well, you put those between your tits anyway.
Not my tits, fucking. So. My wife's tits. I had a kendo stick. If I was Sandman, not me. No.
I thought you were saying if you were Missy Hyatt.
Well, she probably put other shit in there.
What like hasn't been Jason Hervey's Missy dick. Hyatt?
Like Wayne Arnold's dick was in there.
That's crazy.
Butthead. Oh, she's gonna kiss other dudes here. She's gonna kiss Anthony Durant. The other dude's getting hard, like, I'm gonna fucking get next. But no, here comes Francine. Francine, why do you care? It's not like you're banging him. Or are you? Those are her pit bulls. She only bangs them. What's going on here? So, is Sandman pimping Missy still? Like, is he still a pimp?
I don't know.
Is that his character? Now we know he was a pimp before.
Yeah, he was. Pay your bills, Tommy Cairo.
This is Hype Central, and now it's time for you to experience the difference.
Oh, no. You already tried something. Oh, all right. Lulu Temple.
Going back to Lulu.
Have you talked about Lulu Temple at all in QCCs?
I don't know that I have. I can.
I don't think so.
I can look it up. You know.
Sounds like it would have been like a nightclub.
Yeah.
It's probably not that important. Oh, probably is this Nine Inch Nails?
Sounds like it.
It does sound like it. Yeah.
Man, what's all this good music? I don't know what to pick, guys. Nine Inch Nails, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, just don't pick one we've used.
Beastie Boys.
Well, we didn't use any of these.
Yeah.
I'm Guilty? Is this the name of the
song? Shazam it.
I can't Shazam it when I'm using my headphones.
It's Extreme Warfare, Volume 1. Relive the night Sabu
had his neck broken.
This is one of Rick's requests right here. The song.
Oh, Hangman, nice shot from Filter.
Yep. Tampa, Florida explodes as the gangsters collide with Public Enemy. Upstate New York comes alive as the Steiner make their ECW debut. Man, that's old shit right there.
It is.
Fuck.
Yep.
infamous catfight between Francine and Beulah McGillicutt.
I like having the full legit like a year before this.
Right. Yep. Like a full, yeah, exactly. Yeah, really.
Was, yeah, it was like June of 95.
What the fuck is this? Dudley's? Dudley's.
Dudley Driving School.
That's great.
Stop, go, stop, go.
Teaching him to drive. Was it an Oldsmobile Cutlass?
With a headlight out, it looks like already.
Yeah, no kidding.
And there's kids over there. They're like, what the fuck is going on here? Alright, so this is Pulp Fiction promo time. Oh, and Beulah's zipper's down. Oh,
boy.
Don't. What are you doing? When you're done with your fight in the streets, remember, you have a war waiting for you. Shut up, triple bulldog. Triple pimple. Oof.
Unleash the mad dogs of war!
Ruth Brothers, bring it on! They spit.
I swallow.
Ow. We all know that, Missy.
We swallow.
Ugh. Okay.
We got the Bruce Brothers trying to kick her face in. Eliminators jumping us from behind.
Hey guys, that means we got two wars to fight.
Bring it on!
So lame.
Yeah. Those cheap $2 sunglasses.
At least they're orange and black.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're in uniform.
Yep. Who you think called? Todd Gordon, I think. Todd Gordon's like, I still want to be involved. I'll make the phone call to that payphone.
His eyes look so bloodshot.
His eyes,
yeah. And his body looks so fucking steroid shot.
Yeah, he's got the steroid bloke.
Huge. That is not Dean Douglas.
No.
Vince is like, hey, I want you back, pal. You look good.
Look at those traps. They're so vascular.
Sure. I'm gonna take you and teach you a wrestling lesson. You say you can wrestle me and stretch me down to the mat. Well, then I accept the challenge, Too Cold Scorpio. Because I say you can't. Well, you may fly like a bird and soar like an eagle, but you're no franchise, and you've built no ECW. This is a house that I built.
Good promo.
Yeah, it was a good promo.
Just yet, Too Cold Scorpio. Whenever I get the chance, I'm gonna whoop your ass for good.
Starting to get sideburns.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a long.
Starting to add more curses in there.
Yep.
More asses. What about Taz? Oh, gangsters!
Everybody thinks there's gonna be a party. Everyone thinks you're gonna take these belts.
Gangsta party.
Already put your mark on them. Everyone thinks you're the second coming of Public Enemy.
I don't think anybody thinks that, Saturn.
No. We think this is the real Public Enemy.
Yeah.
Belts, and there's not going to be no celebration. All they're is gonna be his total elimination.
Darius Cronus. It's like, I lost weight and look good. I'm not laughing anymore.
I look like I'm trying to be in Soundgarden.
Yes. All right, so that wraps up jam-packed episode, man. Right?
Yeah.
Full of a lot of action there. And before we take our little break and move on to the next one, I just wanted to ask you guys, in regards to the matches that we watched here, some ratings. So we saw Chris Jericho versus Mikey Whipwreck. It was chopped. So we didn't see it in its full as it should be watched. But what do you think that is, guys?
Like what Meltzer said or just our own personal?
Oh, you can do both. Okay. Guess what he thought and then do your own.
I mean, I'd say given what we saw for Mikey and Jericho, that was like a 2.5.
Okay. And JV, what do you think from what you saw?
I was going to say about the same, 2.5.
Okay. And Rick, do you want to guess? I'll tell you guys, but Rick, do you want to guess?
I'll say 3.
Yeah, 3. You nailed it. And I would agree with you guys. 2.5 is probably what that was, even though we didn't see everything flowing as the way it should. Now, this was a fun one. Triangle match for the ECW title. Raven, Pitbull, Sandman. What do you got, guys?
I'd give it a 3.5 just because there was some, you know, good stuff and they kind of intertwined different things. It wasn't, it was innovative, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Storybuilding. I'm going 3.5.
Yeah, I'm 3.5 as well. Yep. Excellent. Meltzer went 3.25. 3.25. And then, there was one more, I believe. Right. Was that it?
Well, the intro was the still images of Sabu RVD.
All right, yeah, we're going to watch that entirety next time. All right, so yeah, that's it. So fun stuff, a lot of jam-packed episode and good stuff. And continuing on, we'll move on to part 3 of A Matter of Respect and get some more matches. But we're going to take a quick little break, like I said. We're going to take a listen to the Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right, 2-party. And we'll be right back. We'll be right back. we're back now for Extreme ECW Championship Wrestling Hardcore TV 162 from May 28th, 1996. And we are covering, once again, matches from A Matter of Respect from the May 11th, 1996 ECW Arena show. This is part 3 of 3 for the coverage on Hardcore TV. And this show will also include matches from the May 17th Glenn Olden show. So, guys, let's get right into it. We had a great episode on 161. This one looks like it's going to be pretty damn good as well. So we got a runtime of 51 minutes and 23 seconds. I'm not going to run through the whole fucking hoopla again. If you're going to watch along, you know what to fucking do at this point. So we're going to sync up together as a team here. I'll give a countdown, 3 down to 1, and say play. And when I say play, we will all click play and get started here. You guys ready to go?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right, so here we go. 3, 2, 1, play.
Ooh, all right, it's pretty wild.
Is this a real song or is this some fake shit?
No, it's probably a real song.
Yeah, I can't tell.
It sounds like it's like dub shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what I actually played. Maybe this is what played, but I would assume something else is playing. Yeah, this definitely sounds like it came from like the network.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, this is the Brian Pillman package of all the shit that he's done so far in ECW, which is very cool looking. I feel like it was like a Nirvana song or something.
Yeah.
The hell is this?
Yeah, then the vocals hit and it's like, huh? Oh, what?
What? Alright, so there it is. Shit. Wish I knew what that original music was.
No kidding.
But now they go back to the original music.
Yeah.
Whoever put this together couldn't figure it out either. Just had to roll with it. Alright, so just a little preview of what's to come. We're going to get more highlights of Robbie and Nam versus Sabu from Matter of Respect. We're going to get footage from the Glenn Olden show of Too Cool Scorpio versus Chris Jericho. And then we're going to get a couple more matches from Matter of Respect. We're going to get the Dudley Boys versus Damian Kane and Dangerous Devin Storm with Lady Alexandra. And then Tommy Dreamer and the Gangsters against Brian Lee and the Eliminators.
That'll be a fun one.
And here's Joey. All right, so the big June 1st show, Brian Pillman's going to make his in-ring debut?
And, well, no, because he can't walk. he's gonna make his first appearance at the ECW Arena since his accident when he damn near...
Oh, since his accident, okay.
Yeah.
Just appearance.
Yeah, he's going to show up.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
I'm sure they'll show clips of it.
I thought the pencil fucked him up in his living room. I thought that's what happened.
Yeah. That would have made a better story, but yeah. Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction.
Yes. They should have known at this point. He really is a loose cannon. Let's not fuck around with this. He's living the gimmick. Oh, side note, JV, Lakers 0-2 in the series right now.
Woohoo!
Western Conference.
Nice.
Yeah.
Lost by 5.
Suck it. Suck it, LeBron.
I was going to say, where are you now, LeBron?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice blur of the phone number.
Yeah. They've been doing that a couple of different weeks, the past couple of weeks, where they blur it, but they're not really blurring it. But there you go, JV.
See, this is what you missed last episode. RVD joining.
How young RVD looks.
Oh, Alfonso. That's how he joined?
Yeah. And it's Taz, the boss.
Yeah, the brute.
Yeah, we didn't get all this noise before.
No. Taz with the biohazard shirt on.
Cool shirt.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, Bill. Pissing me off now. Somebody like Taz with a short temper, you'd think he would freak out on Bill Alfonso eventually. Shut the fuck up!
No kidding.
The fuck up with that whistle!
That's the damage control lady.
Yeah, with the ass.
Yep. Yeah. Can we move the camera a little bit?
I don't want to see Paulie.
No, I don't want to see Paul's ass.
Paulie with his fake long hair.
Yep.
Skullet.
That's got to be a wig.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Looks like a fucking wig. He was going to shake Rob Van Dam's hand and say, "You, Rob Van Dam, are the better man on this given night." Now, the shame in today's wrestling climate, in the climate filled with ultimate fights and tough man and only the tough survive, is to be stretched out. Look how fucking unfitting that jacket he has on is.
Yeah. So
look at those sleeves.
Short. Yeah.
Fucking Pee Wee Herman jacket. See, Rob Van Dam, you got some information.
Someone is in your ear. And you got that information based on. I don't know. What is he driving?
I don't know. Who knows what he's in? He might not even be in a car. Just pretending to be in a car. I'm like, there's a fucking tractor trailer.
I was going to say, it's a little lawnmower.
Yeah. All right, he is in a car.
He's in like a Corvette.
Yeah, shit. As you can tell by the very nature of our program, ECW... Oh, man, it's a classic Rick BB.
We found out where all the money went for ECW. Went into Paul getting a fucking Corvette.
All right.
Or a Camaro or something.
Got to keep up with appearances.
Yeah.
Not pay my wrestlers.
I got to look like a psycho yuppie.
I call it yuppie.
Psycho yuppie. There is such a thing as being too hardcore. No such thing as being too hardcore?
I don't know if he said there's no such thing or yes, there is such a thing, but either way, I wasn't listening to him. I was paying attention.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's why I didn't hear it correctly.
Yeah.
But I think either statement is not wrong.
Exactly.
What is this? This is a new one.
To show you.
A brand new Brian Pillman's t-shirt. Let's see how shitty this is.
But we can't.
Oh. You're going to just have to call and buy it. That's it.
Because we get thrown off the air if we did.
Oh, God. What a gimmick. We can't even show you the shirt. You just go order it.
Fucking do that.
I'll see if I can find out what it was.
Yes. You get a picture, put it on Twitter.
Yep.
But that's fucking pretty creative.
It really is.
Yeah. I can't tell you what it is. Just fucking buy it, please. You know it's going to be good. It's Brian Pillman. And if anybody likes Brian Pillman, they'll get Brian Pillman-related t-shirt. Doesn't matter what it is. Just like with the mystery boxes from, like, Pro Wrestling Crate. If I see, like, a Stone Cold shirts coming in or whatever, like, oh, shit, cool, whatever it is. I'm looking forward to it. Even if it sucks. I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, not that good. But I'd still take the risk on buying it. Alright, so here we are. Glenn Olden at the rec center. I always forget Glenn Olden is this spot. Looks like a pop-up tent.
Yeah, it does.
Or like a Masonic temple.
Like where the ceiling is.
Yeah.
The roof.
Yep.
Complete with the basketball hoops.
Exactly, yep.
Seriously, like, that looks like a barn, like how the roof is.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like that shape.
All right, definitely barn shape. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a barn one time.
Yeah.
Glenn Olden, Pennsylvania. Here we are with Too Cold and Chris Jericho. And I remember being impressed with Chris Jericho when I was watching it this time and knowing of him and like, he was good. I don't know how impressed I am now. Maybe I'm just so used to Chris Jericho that none of this seems cool anymore. But at the time it was.
That's definitely part of it.
I think that's probably
it. At the time you didn't see this style of wrestling as often as you see it now. It's
right.
It's kind of become like a staple.
Right, so now I'm like taking this for granted, whereas when I originally watched it, I noticed how different it was.
Right.
And even Too Cold. Like, it's not different to what I've seen for the last 20 years, but 26 years ago, 27, whatever, it was new. You kind of forget that when you've just been exposed to so much.
Yep.
Right, and that's kind of what I always bring up is, you know, we look at this and we go, oh, I've seen people do springboard moonsaults before. But in 1996, that's not what you were seeing in WWF or WCW. I mean,
right.
with the luchadors in WCW, you would. But it wasn't the common thing, you know. And we hadn't been conditioned to it like we have now, you know, 20-something years later.
Right. And what you're saying, what I'm saying, it's coming from people that did watch it at the time.
Oh, right.
And we're still tricked into thinking, oh, it's not that special. You know, so imagine what people that had never experienced ECW at all, young people today, you know, 20-year-olds today watching it, they're not going to think this is that special because no. This is how wrestling is.
No. And that's the thing is, for me at least, the whole package is what made it different. You know, the music, the promos. Yes.
I agree.
The action.
That's the main thing for me, yeah.
The fact that they're in a barn. Like, you know.
Yep.
This schmuck.
As a Too Cold won that match, by the way.
Yeah, he did. With the drop in the bomb, I believe.
Yep. Because there's a difference between our slave labor and... That was good that we mentioned those things, because that's important to understand. That. Yeah. Your perception of wrestling changes based on how much you watch and when you watched it.
Yep.
Experience the difference. Fuck that shirt. Put some bloody drips on it or something.
No kidding.
Spice it up. Or bars, like the barbed wire thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so we're getting a little report that Sandman's fucked up. Okay, who cares?
Break his wrist, is that what it was? Oh, his knee. Okay.
Oh, arthroscopic surgery.
I've had arthroscopic surgery before.
My knee. Much bigger deal in the 90s.
How bad is it?
It's not too bad. Recovery was pretty quick.
That's good.
Yeah, it was my senior year of high school.
Oh, that's so
not
it wouldn't
a major
have been
surgery now. It might have still been then. Or is it? No, it's scoping, right? Like, they don't even, like, really slice you open and rip a bunch of shit out.
Well, they... Well, yeah, they always use scope and go in, but they gotta make the incisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not, like, ripping your knee apart, like, major... You know,
no! No. What happened
ACL
with me was...
surgery and shit.
No. For me, it was bits of my patella broke off.
chipped, right?
Yeah, chipped. And they had to remove the chips.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, that would have only been a few years after this, I would imagine, right?
Like 5 years after. Yeah. I was senior in 2001.
Yeah, so it would have been 5 years after this, so probably not much had changed.
Yeah, I don't think much would have changed at that point. A year before this, in 95, I had my lung collapse, and I had a chest tube put in to drain fluid from my lungs, so I have been cut up in a few times within that time period.
Jesus.
I was hardcore during this time period.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I'm a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't give me bullshit, JV, but my allergies. I'm hardcore. I'm just a poor thing.
Yeah.
I keep kicking, man.
Keep kicking out at two.
Keep trucking along, man.
Yeah, fucking die at 58 or some bullshit. Everyone be surprised. Like, I should have been dead when I was 12.
Like I told you so.
Yeah. I was surprised to be alive in 95. Oh, shit. Let's hear this. This is new. May 18th. From Raven. I wanted to bone her. No woman wants to hear this. He's trying to get them to go at each other. Mind games. Look at Meanie's hair.
He's really trying to do the diesel, let me, you know, hold my wrist and flex my fingers into a fist, and it doesn't work.
But he straightened his hair into like a bowl cut.
Yeah.
Oh, this. Raven wants a dirty whore, I guess.
Yep.
He wants a little whore.
He wants a real prostitute, apparently.
Whore.
He wants Missy Hyatt. Feel my pain. That's what he calls his penis.
Yeah, his pain.
Pain. My pain. That is an interesting promo. Let's see where that goes. Godfather? Big Pimpin? Oh, Stevie. Oh, man. He's so good. He's so funny. Making fun of Sandman with fucking cracking a water cup on his head and choking on water. All right, we got Dudley's versus Damian Kane, Dangerous Devin Storm. But we don't get the heel opening.
Ah,
the fuck! The opening is the best part of this match.
Devin Storm looking like a rocker in 1996. All right,
so, oh man, look at that!
There you go,
Lady Alexandra. All right, so as I said, next episode we're gonna include stuff that was not on the hardcore TVs from A Matter of Respect. So we gotta include the opening to this match, the whole opening segment.
Awesome.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's
it. Was that enough enthusiasm for you?
Yes.
Bubble busted open.
Oh fuck! What a fucking slam, sending Damian Kane, Captain Lou Albano, down to the mat.
Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, Zach Galifianakis Albano. Albano. Devin Storm with his fucking shitty ass ring gear.
I forget where I saw it, but somebody pointed out that in 1996, Devin Storm was dressing like he was in the Rockers from 1990. And then when he becomes Crowbar, he looks like he should fit in an ECW in 1996.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he should have been Crowbar.
Yeah, he should have been dressed like Crowbar at this point. He would have fit in more.
Although, the thing is here, in 1996, at this very time, you had Al Snow as the new rocker.
Oh, yeah. As
so you had the new rockers best going on at this time.
That's right.
Yeah.
The new rockers. Al Snow replaced Shawn Michaels. A guy that
it,
gimmick was a mannequin.
And the biggest star of the new rockers was not Marty Jannetty. It was Al Snow. Poor Marty. Can never be the star of the rockers. Even the shitty new rockers.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
We'll see Al Snow again in ECW.
Oh, can't wait.
Year or two?
What does everybody want? Did
yep.
he do that
yep.
here?
Yes,
he does.
That's where it starts. Yep.
Yeah. It. I don't want to ruin it, JV, but the crowd really gets into that gimmick.
Perfect.
Of course, head. Everyone wants head. And I would say probably 50% of them, 75% of them never had head. That's
yep.
why they were all into it.
That mythical thing called head.
Right, and that's why they said, what does everybody want? It's what we want, it's not what we get.
Yeah.
What we want. Guess we always want it. Oh, come on. Devon, you're a dickhead. Devon's a dickhead at this point. I said this last time. He's just a new big dick.
He's DQing him.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. The referee's actually enforcing the rules.
Because he's from Massachusetts. He knows.
Yeah.
So.
You sure you're not related to him, Prue?
Oh. Maybe he's related to my Uncle Rick.
There you go. For all we know, Pa Richards could be Portuguese, you know?
Yeah, could be French.
Yeah, he could be French, too.
So we got most of this match, but man, they cut the best part of this match out. Oh,
no
except
way.
For this. That was good. That's a total package.
Yeah, that's a total package. Cleavage.
She's underrated here in ECW.
Oh, yeah.
She's a forgotten gem, I think.
Those are two gems right there, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see the rubies.
Yep.
DW. Look at DW. All right, so back to Stevie, who's busted his head on a styrofoam cup. Stevie's doing all right, Joey. Oh, Big Dick's back in the house. Oh, Devon doesn't want them to call Big Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to protect them from Big Dick, probably. Brother Love.
I was kind of hoping he would hit him with the receiver.
Yeah. Shut up, DW. Black. Dudley must return and exercise his authority within the Dudley family. Perhaps it will happen as early as this Saturday night. Mm. I hope it does happen this Saturday. I hope Big Dick Dudley is in the ECW arena this Saturday. Because I am Big Dick. I don't remember what happens, but I think that would be a good storyline if Devon just being so tough on them because he wants Big Dick out of the picture because he's been shitty for them. He's going to put them on the path of righteousness.
Yeah, I don't remember where this leads.
Hmm. Yeah, there's so many minor stories and little things that you forget over the years.
Sandman.
Oh, Sandman.
Or Taz.
Or Taz.
Taz.
I thought they were selling us a Brian Pillman shirt again.
Find out this Friday night.
June 1st. The Lulu. No.
May 31st.
May 31st at the Lulu. Lulu
Temple. What a name.
What, Plymouth Meeting or the Lulu?
Lulu.
Oh.
Lulu.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania.
That sounds like shit. Look at that, Plymouth Plantation.
Yeah, you can't call it Plymouth Plantation anymore.
What's it called now?
I forget.
It like a year ago, and it was... the fuck was it called?
What? You can't call
90%, 90% of the people listening have no fucking clue what we're talking about.
I thought it was still called Plymouth Plantation.
That's no, racist. they changed it, yeah, because of the word plantation.
Oh, yeah, they did. And that was very recent because I went, like I said, like 2 years ago. It was still Plymouth Plantation.
Yeah, that was called in the Plymouth past year or so.
Patuxent Museums.
Yeah. Yep.
Bullshit. Plantation. Okay, I'm not even going to get into it, but. Alright. Connotations, I guess, right?
Right.
Connotations. Just gotta avoid everything that might be a thing.
Like,
oh,
that,
look. I like that Goodfellas shirt that WWF New York fan is rocking.
Yeah.
Badass. Ray Liotta, Robert De Niro. Joe Pesci on the shirt.
That's the biggest plan.
I think this is just all bullshit music for the most part. No, oh, it can't be though because we just had Kiss War Machine on.
Yeah.
You have to ring announce his sideburns. He's got Shane Douglas' future sideburns.
That's Joel Gertner.
Joel Gertner, yeah. We're still waiting on him to break out.
Yep.
Which will happen in time.
Really? He goes wild?
Yeah, he becomes a big character.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I'm looking forward to that.
The quintessential stud muffin.
Yeah.
Right? Quintessential stud muffin.
The quintessential stud muffin.
He looks like a stud muffin at this point, but when he starts being the gimmick, he's no longer a stud muffin.
Yeah, because he starts wearing this jacket
like
with no shirt under
pounds.
It. Yeah.
Hey, JV, this is it. The gangsters and the music plays the whole match.
Yeah, the whole time. This is the fucking. It's yep. It's like playing Grand Theft Auto.
Yes, don't change the radio station. Keep this one on.
Yeah, just fucking keep playing fucking Goldfinger. Like Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Tom Drew's got a hockey stick. Fucking nailed Terry, Perry Saturn in the nuts. Ah, this is
New
fucking
Jack,
great.
New Jack stabbing him with something?
Probably.
Yeah.
The referee's using a hockey stick to clean the ring. Look at him.
No, he hit him with a soda.
A can of soda?
Yeah, he shook up a can of soda and cracked Brian Lee in the head with it. Tommy Dredge.
Jeez.
Yeah, there's a tire in the ring.
Oh, shit. Good thing this was the last match of the night.
Yep.
They made a mess.
Up this after bingo, too.
Oh, just whips him by the chain over the head.
Now, I wonder if bingo was always after this show.
Yeah. That was a coffee maker. He hits him with a Mr. Coffee.
I can't imagine Bingo's right after this. I would figure that Paul would come up with a deal where it's like, we'll clean up tomorrow morning.
Well, was this show on a Friday night or a Saturday?
All right, so this was the 11th, right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Because my theory is that maybe they did Bingo on Friday nights.
Seems like a Monday.
Oh, it can't be a Monday. Yeah. But yeah, bingo on a Friday sounds right. But
yeah.
May 11th was Saturday. Saturday night. All
right. Okay, so yeah, it was probably a thing where they did the bingo the night before. So yeah, they wouldn't have to clean this up.
Yeah, and then Sunday's just nothing's happening there Sunday.
Yeah. He just did something to Cronus's dick. Hit him.
And they were probably there till like 5 in the morning anyway, doing like promos, and they probably even did editing for the TV shows right there.
Yeah.
If possible, you know, if they had the equipment there. Which they probably did.
They definitely were doing the promos, at least.
Yeah. That's right, because Austin did his promos right there.
Yep. Uh-oh, we gonna see it? Yep.
Oh, man, Cronus!
Cronus dropped!
That's an awesome fucking spot there from Cronus. I mean, JV, how about the feel of this match with the music playing?
Yeah, like, it's incredible. It's,
anything could be happening, and it just feels fucking badass.
So, like, as much so they're focused on, like, one thing, and I'm just trying to look behind them and see what's going on. Like, how's the crowd reacting?
Oh, everybody's excited.
Dude, it's like a concert. It's like a fucking mosh pit.
Right.
You're just on the outside watching these guys fight.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Society. Saturn with a fucking nice Asai suit. Yep, moonsault off the second rope.
You guys just holding chairs in the air.
All right, the music
stops.
People definitely
getting accidentally whacked in the face with the butt end.
Oh, for sure. Even Tommy springboards over the...
Yeah.
With a plancha.
Even Tommy, he said.
What?
Even Tommy, you said.
Yeah, even Tommy. Don't roll the top.
Yeah, yeah, it's just funny. Like, yeah, because he's not. He should have really been.
Yeah, everyone's going wild. But now the music stopped. What the fuck? Get it going again.
Put that shit on a loop.
Yeah, I feel like that music keeps the guys going.
Rewind your cassette.
Maybe that's what they're doing. Yeah. In like 10 seconds, it's going to start again. Journey with me into the mind of a maniac doomed to be a killer since I came out the nutsack. Alright, so that broken guardrail is still being used.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was a gimmick one where, like, the middle of it was intended to be snapped in half.
It could be, because that looks like it's a clean break.
Yeah.
Samoan drop.
Might have been a little welding trick there.
Yeah.
Oh, Saturn salt. Saturn
salt.
Yeah,
that was nice. What did he do? A moonsalt? We kind of missed it.
Yeah.
He basically did a lion salt.
Yeah, right. And they call it the Saturn salt.
Yeah.
Ooh, he gets up.
This is awesome.
I'll say it.
This is awesome.
This is awesome.
Imagine being there live for this.
Hey, this whole show.
Keep track of anything, but it would be amazing.
Yeah, that whole night. May 11, 1996, Matter of Respect. Mm-hmm. What a show. I'm kind of glad we watched it the way we did instead of just the Supercard, but... Man, that's a good one. And that's partly why I want to cover everything on the next one.
Just
so
totally.
We can complete this great show.
Yeah.
Because it deserves it. Wow, Brian. Oh, poor lady right there, man. She's like fucking 68 and...
That's
she's
somebody's grandma.
She's like, right, I'm not moving.
She almost got... Brian Lee just whipped a chair right to the side of her. She's just like, right there. Boom. Man.
Mafia kick.
Oh, that's a woman.
That's a woman.
All right, so now we're in the... That's near the Eagle's Nest, I believe. Or where J.T. Smith fell off the fucking side. Hey, Gumby. Wow, we're bringing stuffed animals. We're bringing stuffies. Gumby made an appearance.
The crutches again.
What the fuck? The crutches? And we got crutches again. It's all the props, all the things. Shoulder block. I guess it's a forearm thrust. Looked like a shoulder block to me. Going for a pinfall on Mustafa. Only two. Who gives a fuck about John Finnegan? Why do you care about making pinfalls? None of the contestants are in ringside other than the two there. I guess he says, hey, whoever's in the ring, you get a chance to win. If you're not in the ring, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Probably the way it should be. Hey, I'm not gonna end this match. I'm not gonna count you out, but you can't win unless you're in there.
Remember, this was billed as a death match.
That's right.
So.
All right, Rick. I gotta. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, depending on what rules you want to go by, you know.
Yeah, what's a death match?
Texas death match should be the. Some people do the just like a knockdown and then 10 seconds. Some places they do a pinfall and that's when the 10-second count goes. Japanese death matches are just basically a huge brawl with a bunch of dangerous stuff. So,
all right. So, just looking at ringside, I came up with a Rick Beebe investigative report task.
Okay,
and this will be a tough one. That's why we gotta go with this. The police officer at ringside.
Okay.
Who is he? What does he know? Like, that dude's at ringside all the time.
Yeah, is that the one with the bully bat?
He's got the bully bat. He's got the dark outfit on, too. Not the light blue. He's always been there throughout 96 and 95.
Is he wearing like a black leather trench coat or something?
Oftentimes he does. Right now he's not.
Right.
So I wonder if there's any
cop, not an actual cop, right?
No, the actual cop. That's at ringside all the time. I didn't say you're going to be able to figure it out. I'm just saying this would be a task for you to maybe figure out.
Yeah, I'll look.
It might be ECW wrestlers that know who he is. What not? That would be some cool shit if you were able to figure that out. Hey, is that a fucking snare drum thing? What was that?
That's a cymbal, yeah.
No, cymbal, I mean. So.
Yeah.
How the fuck did that get there?
I guess somebody brought it, but hey, just like that, well, that no, banana really? Yellow phone.
I guess somebody brought it. Yeah.
Well, there was a store, like a... you know, dollar store or whatever you want to call it, right up the street from the ECW arena. And people used to just go in there and buy random shit, you know, drop $5 or $10 and get random stuff. That's why you'd have people bringing in weird stuff like blueberry pies and, you know, other stuff. Because they'd go, you know, or like frying pans or whatever, because they'd go and get the cheap, shitty dollar store, you know, pots and pans.
Hey, that stuff probably caught on and was like, all right, let's just buy a bunch of shit. We're selling all of it. We need frying pans up the wazoo. Let's keep ordering those suckers.
Oh, absolutely. There's one point I think somebody, I forget who it was, said, but somebody was trying to bring like a kayak in. As
what?
Sorry, you can't bring modes of transportation into the ECW arena.
but you can bring a Nintendo.
Yeah, you can play video games, but you can't try to travel in here.
Yeah, no watercraft.
Well, if they can't bring canoes, but I would imagine they were able to bring surfboards, right?
Yeah.
No. It's been a while since I thought of surfboards in regards to ECW.
Is that a jug of milk? Man.
And look at the doggy ball. There's a doggy ball right there in the corner of the rink. It's not a pit bulls match. What's going on here?
I know.
What the fuck is that?
Is that a robot?
It looks like a toy. That's from the dollar store. It's from Family Dollar.
Yeah.
And Mustafa is choking out Cronus.
Is that a speaking spell?
Could have been.
Yeah.
What kind of jersey that kid got on the front row?
I was just checking that out, too. Yeah. I thought it was like a Cavaliers jersey at first, but doesn't fit the time.
No.
For the color it was.
I thought
it was
Brad Daugherty and Mark Price jerseys.
What was it, Rick?
I said, yeah, he's wearing like a Mark Price or a Brad Daugherty jersey.
I'm impressed that New Jack actually has like uniform gear on with Mustafa.
Right.
Yeah, coordinated.
Instead of just like random
team.
Like, cargo jeans or something, cargo pants.
Yeah, because the Eliminators are color coordinated. It looks pink, but red, whatever. Ooh. Saturn's got mostly red with the black trim, and Cronus is black with the red trim.
Opposite, yeah. That works.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They're coordinated, too. So.
Yep. Tommy just wears whatever he's comfortable in now.
A t-shirt and sweatpants.
Like, I work here for a while. Fuck you. Paulie, I'll wear what I want. Tommy's busted open.
Saturn not afraid of heights from being a paratrooper. So
I wonder if at this time, with Tommy doing the whole Beulah. Oh, he was with Beulah, right? That's the thing. Was he was really with Beulah at this time?
I think so. I mean, it would definitely be sometime in this period that they
Are you talking about like they started in real dating. Life?
In real life, yeah.
Okay.
So with I was wondering like I wonder if there was any real Kimona action between them. Too.
That's a good question.
We know her Beulah's porn background. Maybe she would have been into that still.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
I mean, I know I saw a shoot interview once or something like that with her and Dreamer. That was more recent, like, because she was clearly not, you know, as young as she is in this in 96. And they were asking about that, and she didn't specifically say, like, oh, yeah, I'm into girls, too, or whatever. But she definitely was, like, not ashamed of the fact that she made out with Kimona.
All right, so maybe I'm off for something.
Yeah, you very well could be.
Good for Tommy, then. He's hardcore. Man, I didn't think this match was going to be as fun as it is. This is just like, you know, the earlier match with Sandman, Raven, and the Pitbull. Just a fucking brutal brawl. It's fun. And man, I'm envious of the people that were in attendance for this May 11th, 1996 show.
No kid.
The fuck?
Okay, what is that kid wearing for a jersey? You're right. It's like maroon color.
Yeah. Right.
They still haven't rewound the tape and got the fucking music on.
That's right. They broke it. The tape broke. It was played too many times.
You guys lied to me.
I know. JV wants the music the whole time. All right, JV, and when you do editing, just put Natural Born Killers in the background.
Yeah.
Tommy Dreamer is about to beat up fake Undertaker right now with a pile driver. Oh, here comes Stevie with his underwear.
Stevie and his BVDs.
With his Calvin Kleins.
Yeah.
Calvin Klein. Why you keep calling me Calvin Klein? That's what it says on your underwear. Fucking Stevie. Hope he gets kicked in the nuts right now. He's definitely getting a nut shot. Double nut shot. Oh, nut grab and a tongue. Oh,
she's got both. I think she's using both hands.
Oh, yeah, she's pulling. And we got the X covering it. Oh, fuck. Stevie is fucked.
It says Florida on his jersey.
And they're pulling him by the nuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they got a good handful of Stevie's weenie.
I've seen that in porn videos, though, why girls just drag you by that junk.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem that bad.
But, I suppose depending on how hard they're squeezing, you know?
But in this case, it's not so good. Oh, I don't think Brian Lee's elbows, or shoulders rather, got off the mat. I don't know why that had to be a broken pinfall. But yeah, that's how it goes. Perry Saturn then lands a pile driver on Tommy's. Now he's down in the middle of the ring and nobody's there to pin him. What's going on? Yeah, this is ECW. John Finnegan is just fucking laying elbow drop on Tommy and pin him and be like, ha! I won this match.
That would be pretty awesome, honestly. Oh, one, two,
yeah, see?
Three. Finnegan won.
Imagine that. What's a cinder block? They keep saying cinder block. Where the fuck is it? Oh, there it is.
Right
in the corner
there,
of the ring.
It's legs, yeah.
When was it used? I didn't see it. Was it just the Stevie spot? With the nuts?
Beulah and Kimona apparently brought it down. Tommy had it on Brian Lee's crotch to hit it. And then apparently Saturn dumped it on Tommy's chest.
Oh.
It was used, but...
All right, Mustafa is going after Saturn. Tommy's on the table set up.
I guess superplex.
Ooh, trash barrel just came out of nowhere. Oh, DDT! Oh my god, this is going to be over.
Damn.
DDT from Tommy off the rope, off the second rope.
That was vicious.
Holy shit, Saturn went through the table. There you hear it, crowd chanting. One. Oh, Cronus makes the save. I believe JV mentioned this before. Cronus looking like CM Punk when he first came into WWF. I mean, look, give Punk a little bit more credit, but yeah, same look, same style.
Uh oh.
Reckless Stop Youth, whatever it was. No, that's a different guy, Reckless Youth.
Yeah, Reckless Youth is a totally different guy.
But CM Punk could have had that name.
Oh, yeah.
And the Gangsters get the win. Wow, finally, a Gangsters win. Mm-hmm. They don't usually win. Shit just usually goes down and nothing happens.
No, they
run away.
They get the win over the team that they're feuding with, too.
Right. And they probably get the win because Tommy Dreamer is their partner. But.
Yeah.
Oh, the music's back. They rewound.
Oh, the video quality just went down.
That's right. Get the fuck out of here. Type Central. And for everyone wondering why we haven't done a pay-per-view yet. Because we don't have enough money. In the last couple of weeks. When we do it, we want to do it. All right, so they're talking about pay-per-views already. Slow
down. Yep. Take your time. And present a good product. And come up with some ideas of your
own. Like these. Alright, so the thought is we don't have a pay-per-view because we take our time to put out a good product. I'm gonna tell you right now. Barely Legal, in my opinion, and I was watching it at the time, I was so disappointed with Barely Legal. I don't know what I was expecting at the time. But I was like, ugh. This is no different than what I usually watch.
Yeah, it's very sanitized compared to this.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Right, it's not like this show, Matter of Respect.
No.
And very
lame. Yeah, and then the pay-per-view after that, the next one they did was at Hardcore Heaven. That was even worse.
Right. It's like they were trying to conform to like what a pay-per-view should be.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you should have been yourself.
Hey, have we used this Korn song?
This is a Korn song?
Yeah, isn't it Follow the Leader?
No, is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, no spoilers, but there is a reason why they toned it down, so to speak, for Barely Legal.
All right, we'll wait, because we'll be there soon enough.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, yeah, it does sound like one. Okay, we got three options. JV, I'm going to let you pick the option. I'll just write them down.
Yeah, it's called Blind by Korn.
Oh, Blind, okay. All right, you want to go with that?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
What's that for the break? Well,
for the outro.
Yeah.
What did we land on for the break?
Beastie Boys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that one's going to rule.
I wonder what happens if you dial that 800 number now.
Back in the day, you'd probably get porn, but now you just get some fucking... somebody trying to sell you some bullshit.
Yeah.
Or just, like, automatically take all your information and buttfuck you.
Yeah.
Triangle of Terror, Primetime, Brian Lee, and the Bruise Brothers. You will see the very first public appearance of wrestling's loose cannon, Brian Pillman, since his unfortunate auto accident back in April. The franchise, Shane Douglas and Two Cold Scorpio, will attempt to beat respect out of one another as the ECW World Television title belt hangs in the balance. Stevie Richards has signed the open contract of the Sandman. And we fight the power. No governing body wanted to sanction
it. Power.
The hell with it. This is Extreme Championship Wrestling. And this Saturday night at the ECW Arena, the World Tag Team title belts are on the line. And the Eliminators will defend against the Gangsters.
Eliminators versus Gangsters.
All right. I'm looking forward to that match. Hopefully we'll see that in the upcoming episode or the one after that.
Yeah, well, I hope so too.
With that said, let's take our quick little break and finish things up here with the Extreme ECW Live Cast Wrap-Up. All right, we're back now for the Extreme ECW Live Cast Wrap-Up, and we'll be coming back in 2 weeks, like I said earlier, for episode 73, and we'll be covering more A Matter of Respect, the unaired matches, and also that great opening segment to the show with the Dudleys, Damian Kane, Lydia Alexandra, fun shit. Rick has watched it. I've watched it. I just want JV's reaction to it. Really, is what I want. And then we also have the great matches like Rob Van Dam versus Sabu, and then some not so good matches, but shit, that's fun to cover. So we're gonna cover that instead of a Hardcore TV episode.
All right.
For the first part, and then we'll watch one Hardcore TV episode. Episode 163 from June 4th, 1996. And it's going to be part one of the coverage of Fight the Power, the June 1st, 1996 show. So that's what we'll be covering next time. So please join us again in 2 weeks. And thanks as always to the BTT Patreon members that subscribe and listen to these new episodes.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You know, and girls.
And girl, probably.
And girl.
So with that said, we don't have podcast plugs other than plugging our show, The Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, Career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. And please check out our latest episode, episode 11 of the Stunning Steve special series. It's War Games, May 1992.
My favorite War Games.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite. I think it's my second or third favorite. It's up there. Damn good War Games match, mm-hmm. for sure. And it was fun to cover. Also, one last time, please give us a follow on Twitter, Balls at Extreme Cast. Follow me, Mike Pru, at MPRU83. Follow JV at John Van Damage. Follow Rick Beebe at Leo Wyatt 85. And we're going to wrap things up. Guys, anything left to say before we head on out of here?
No.
I got nothing.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks. We got some corn for you as we head on out. So long.
I can see I'm going blind. I can see I'm going blind.